Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm joined by my fellow monks this afternoon from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, monks.
Hello. Hi, you.
So last week we had Marianne on the show who was with us to talk about volunteering at the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat. And as we were talking about that, we mentioned that it was our first retreat of the season. And it reminded us about how much fun we had had getting ready for retreat season this year and how that would be a really fun topic for a good news update. Often, those of us here at the monastery who live here, we get so used to the privilege of our day-to-day lives and kind of what we do here that we can forget that it's really fun for folks to hear about it. And so my fellow monks have agreed to join me this afternoon to talk about the fun leading up to retreat season this year. So, Dave, I think you were going to start us off.
Yeah. How about if I just say what my favorite part was?
Great.
My favorite part was the Outshower project, and I could tell the story for about 2 hours, but I'll make it as quick as possible.
Well, I actually realized that, my God, this could be like a five-part series. We could have each person tell a story, but anyway.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, just the quick version is, so a lot of our listeners probably know, we have some outdoor showers that you can use when you're at the monastery. Been there for many years, really kind of fun way to take a shower. Over the past few years, they've kind of gradually sort of gone over the hump and started to decline.
Uh-huh.
And one in particular, we don't use them all winter, actually. And so we kind of discovered as we were getting ready for the retreat that one of them in particular really was kind of in rough shape.
Uh-huh.
It had been rotting in the lower parts, and it was kind of funny, actually, because it's sort of like gradually sinking into the ground and tilting to the side as it disappears into the earth.
Lower and lower.
Uh-huh. Yeah, lower and lower, yeah. So we were looking at that saying, what in the world are we going to do? And what was fun for me about it is just about anybody in the world who you brought there and said, what are we going to do about that? They would say, just knock it down and start over.
Yeah.
And it just didn't fit right to do that way because, you know, when we looked at it, the bottom half was all to pieces, but the top half was fine.
Yeah.
And so it just didn't seem right. So it was one of those kind of gang monk projects that, you know, we've had many of those over the years, and those we always remember them with a lot of fondness. Uh-huh. So we got a bunch of monks there. We actually, we cut out the plumbing. We tore out what was left of the floor. We actually picked up the little building and moved it 3 feet forward.
Uh-huh.
And then, which is kind of fun in itself, then we set up on blocks and got it as plumb as we could, kind of considering what we had to work with. And basically what we did was we reframed the bottom,
yeah.
And we put in reframed a new floor. And so it's up, you know, it's 6 inches taller than it used to be.
Yeah.
And, and then put in new walls and painted it and then put the plumbing in and the electrical, and then it's good. It's good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we really could spend the entire update on this, but the only thing I would love to say about it is just how it's the simplest little place to take a shower, and yet, at least to me, it's just infused with love, and it's such not to be missed next time you come on retreat with us.
Yeah, for sure. Just real quick, just my favorite part was, you know, we built most of it with recycled lumber, like we typically do. We were looking for a door,
yeah,
and, the old door was just an 4x8 sheet of plywood, and we're like, well, I guess we're going to have to buy a piece of plywood. And then we're looking around the shop, we realize there's a 4x8 piece of art that Alex had created years ago. It's a great big painting for what he did for an event. It's got a heart on it, and then on the bottom it says, we are one. We said, that would make a nice door. And so we made a door out of it. So when you walk down the outshower, you know, you flip the little thing and you get ready to go in the outshower, and there's this huge heart that greets you as you go in there. That seemed like kind of the pièce de résistance.
It really is. It makes the whole thing. It really does. And for people who have been around a while, it was actually from the peace event at Herbst Pavilion in 2004, which is so there's very special history now hanging on the outshower door.
It really is, and that really speaks to who we are, too, I think, because we didn't throw that thing away. We just said, someday there'll be use for that, and then suddenly there it was, and now it's got a beautiful home.
Yeah, it's perfect. Perfect. All right, who's next?
This is Melinda. And I had the great pleasure of being a little bit like a retreatant for this one because I was away for 2 weeks before the retreat started, came back just a day before, and got to see all the extraordinary changes that had happened in the time that I was away. And it's very exciting. Our first retreat is always just very special. But there's something about, well, again, it's love. Getting the place ready to be just as perfect as it can be for each person who's going to be coming onto the property, maybe especially for the first time, but for everybody. And it's just the best, and we all gather in a kind of teamwork that happens when there's a lot to do in a very short period of time. And I project it's just one of the best kinds of almost celebration that we get to do at the monastery.
That's really fun. And that to have you get to see it with those fresh eyes is really a neat experience. And when you were saying, you know, the teamwork thing, it reminded me of, it must have been the night before the retreat was going to start. And we just said, all right, anyone who's up for it, we're working till dark. We were just out there doing all the last minute things that needed to be done. And as you say, what a pleasure it is to just each thing that gets appointed, that gets placed, that gets taken care of, it's care for who's coming. It's care for us. It's care for the monastery. It's care for life. Yeah. Nicole.
Well, I just want to echo that. I mean, I think one of the best parts about retreat preparation season is the love. You know, and I just, first of all, I get very excited, and it's like company's coming in the best sense of the word. You know, it's like just, we just get to see just wonderful people coming with great hearts. And to work together as a team to prepare for the retreats is just the most fun thing. You know, and I have this little karmic disposition to say, well, we can't, how are we going to do that? You know, it just seems like, you know, so much to be done. And like even the out shower, it's like, how's that going to happen? You know, and then just magically, it seems, you know, that things just fall into place. Life just leads and things fall into place. And the day arrives, folks come, and it's just a really heart-opening experience.
Yeah, I'm with you. 12 hours before, there's tools all over the outhouse. There are extension cords hanging down. And then by the time retreatants walk on the property, it's swept, it's clean, the brand new rugs are down, it's painted, it's ready to go. It's a miracle. Who else? Michael.
I'll just say I used that out shower a day or two into the retreat, and I wasn't sure whether it had been finished or not. And I just went in there and I went, how did they do this? It was, like you said, it was all really pretty and ready to go and everything. And I just, things that signal a retreat for me are externally a lot of fruit. yeah, and internally the question, where are we going to put all this fruit? And externally the lawns get mowed, and internally the excitement that I just watch build. I watch all these things happening outside, you know, on the monastery property, and I also, it's neat to watch just inside me this energy build. People are coming, stuff's happening, and it's fun to watch be a part of.
And, you know, what I love about that is that this was a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and so of the monks, the only people who actually participate in the room are the facilitators, so that's only two of us. And yet what I hear from everyone is that there's that same excitement and love and care that goes into it because we're all a part of it, whether we're in the room or not, of the actual workshop. Amy, do you have a quick one before we stop?
I just wanted to talk about the process of preparing for the retreat and what I was projecting onto everyone, and it was my experience was a lot of kindness towards for me, kindness towards myself, and I was projecting a lot the same on other people, where conditioning would come in with there's just too much to do and not enough time, and yet through the whole process, just having the experience of really taking care of myself throughout.
Yeah, it's so true. That was definitely my experience, and back to what Melinda was talking about with it's a team effort, so okay, this one area is, you know, they're going to need some extra hands. Great. I've got extra, you know, I've got an extra minute. I'll go and help there, and just kind of all pulling it together. Wanted to quickly say one of my favorite things, which was that we really had the assistance of the guide in coming down and assisting and looking and seeing, you know, how do we want the monastery to look? How do we? How does it represent practice? And one of the things she said is, let's clean all the windows, which is one of those back to Sequoias. Wow, there are a lot of windows on this property because it's important to us that in the accommodations that we build, you know, you have the safety from the elements, but that you feel a part of the nature that you're in. And so everything we build is mostly windows. And so cleaning the windows is a huge job. And I got to be on the window cleaning crew, and it was such a pleasure to do that for the hermitages. And then, and the same kind of care that people are talking about, knowing that people are going to be in those hermitages and having those clean windows. And one woman, the last morning of the retreat, was talking about seeing herself reflected in the window of her hermitage and what she saw in that. And she commented on it. It was so amazing how clean they were and how nice that was. And I just thought, oh, you can just always count on the vision that, you know, the visionary leader that we have to see what's going to make a difference, and it always does. So I want to really, really thank my fellow monks, and looking forward to having all of you come on retreat with us and experience our great efforts together. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, monks. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was just down at that place that they were talking about. It's really beautiful down there.
Great.
It's spring and everything looks gorgeous. And we were playing in the garden, which is very exciting. And I figured out that weeds like rain as much as I like sunshine.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think it's just a projection that they are really happy. We have some of the healthiest, I project happiest weeds on the planet. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
What's going on with you?
Well, I'm looking at my windows here and feeling very inspired.
Oh, good. You got a little working meditation coming up for you?
Absolutely.
Good.
Jerry, I have a list of events here.
All right.
You will be at Malaprop's bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina on May 8th at 5 p.m.
That's true.
And at the end of May 27th through 30th, you will be in Rhinebeck, New York at the Omega Institute.
Yes.
And folks can register through Omega for that. And then Spirituality and Business, the weekend of June 10th through 12th, you will be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser, and that's at Esalen in Big Sur.
Mm-hmm. You know, have you noticed that I tend to go to really gorgeous places?
I have noticed that.
Yeah. It's just as you're going down the list. So, you know, if people, I think awareness practice, you know, is fun. And I think that it happens really in a happy way in beautiful places.
Yeah.
So to have fun in beautiful places with really great people, that's what I want to devote my life to. So as we go through the list, we can see that I've been very successful.
Yes, I can see that. And then you will be leading Not What But How. This is a retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And
another gorgeous place, as we've established.
Yes. And that's July 16th through 23rd. And then at the end of July, you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California. That's July 29th and 30th. And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes.
And then August 12th through 14th, another weekend workshop. This is at Esalen in Big Sur. What do these questions have in common?
And then the next big thing that we have to look forward to is the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to support the Africa Vulnerable Children Program.
Yes, exactly. And that is on Saturday, October 1st.
Mm.
Also, we were talking about Mother's Day a week or two ago. You can buy Africa gift cards for Mother's Day, and the last day to order those is next Monday, May 2nd at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Wow, that is specific, isn't it?
Yes, very specific.
9 a.m.
Don't miss it.
And look for a little something coming out from the Zen Center on that. I just saw it, and it's absolutely beautiful.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind our callers to focus on one topic, and about 5 minutes would be great. Okay, here we go, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Janet from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What's going on?
Well, I'm calling because I wanted to talk to you about something that's been going on, and I talked to you about it in the fall. It was about my daughter moving from the East Coast to the West Coast,
uh-huh.
And she is now en route in Kansas right now.
Bless her heart.
En route to the San Francisco area where she got a job. And it's just, what I talked to you about was that it felt very personal, you know, that she was leaving. And
uh-huh.
even though
she... Not that she was leaving. She was leaving you.
She was leaving me. And
yeah.
What I've really gotten to see through the recording and listening is... I've really gotten to see how conditioning's been doing all that. You know, how conditioning is just like so incredibly mean, you know? And
yeah.
I mean, why is it so always so shocking? But I wrote down here, like, mean, mean, mean. You know, like, look what they have and look what you have. You know, like...
Yeah.
Just this whole awful thing, and really vicious.
Mm-hmm.
But what's been wonderful is the mentoring I've gotten through all of this has been phenomenal. And to know that the mentoring is me, I mean, is really like, it's just coming from me. So other times when something like this would happen and it feels like a real shift in my life, I would be like, okay, where can I go? Who can I talk to? What can I get? I need something. And instead,
yes.
It's just, no, actually, it's just all right here. And the
yes.
information I've gotten has been so helpful. And one of the things was to just really, really be completely, fully in this transition, not backing away, not walking away, not trying to shut down, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was just one of the things.
Uh-huh.
But so much has come up, including and I think this is something you and I kind of touched on, but, you know, next year I'm retiring. And who's to know what I'm going to be doing? And
uh-huh.
her making this move and her following her heart, you know, just really opened up something in me. And how cool is
that?
Right?
That is very cool. Yeah. The whole thing is extraordinary. Of course, we really shouldn't be surprised that self-hate, karmic conditioning is ugly and vicious, but it is always surprising exactly how ugly and vicious it is when it's that way. So, you know, wait until the person is in a vulnerable place and then just land on them with all the ugliness that can be mustered. And so for you to allow yourself permission to go through this in any way you do, in every way you do, the blessing in that, of course, is you get to see it all. You get to have the whole experience. And then this gorgeous icing on the cake, which is, huh, sometimes our children can lead the way.
Yeah, and that's like a lot of the mentoring what I got too, you know, was about that. So the whole thing, just having my eyes open, and then, you know, in doing the group every week, the talk tonight was, you know, just on that, just like being in what you're in, not needing to change anything, not needing to fix anything, and just paying complete attention, being totally aware. And that's what I feel like I've been able to do, you know, to the fact where, you know, I'd wake up the other morning, I woke up, and she just left yesterday, so this is like brand new. I woke up in the morning, and I like heard the birds, and I felt really soft in my, you know, covers, and, you know, I felt the sun was out, and I was like, oh, man, it doesn't get better than this. And I watched the story just parade across.
Uh-huh.
It was like, oh, there's the story. What do you mean? What do you mean the birds and the sun? Don't you know what's happening to you? It's like, whoa, wow.
Yeah.
And you know that, yeah, I have felt it's okay to feel everything I've been feeling and just stay right in it.
Mm-hmm. Because that's how the karma gets burned away.
Mm.
Right? That's why there's so much resistance thrown at us about that. You know, whatever is going on, you have to act a certain way, and you have to, you know, present a certain face to the world, and you're okay if you're having these feelings, and you're not okay if you're having these. And so, of course, that sort of thing keeps the karma firmly in place.
I love that.
If you allow yourself to have it all and not go with it, not make it mean anything, but just let it wash over you, then you can see what it is. You can see what the tendencies are, that the ways you're conditioned to react to it, and it just passes away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because there is conditioning is one of the things it's saying is that nothing should happen. Life should just be, like, just put life on a dial 3. Just go straight on 3. That's it. That's what you're going for. And none of this, like, high and low, and can't have all these things happening, you know.
Yeah.
So that it's really interesting. But then it will do the flip side and say you're only really living if all these highs and lows are happening and you're not in the middle, you know. It's just such a mess. So to not pay any attention to any of it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And the other piece of it that I want to underline, because it's probably it's right up there with my favorite aspects of recording and listening, and that is that you don't have to drag everybody else into your karma. Not just you, because it arises and you have a place to talk about it. The wisdom is there in response to it. That's the beautiful thing, to actually have an experience of your authentic nature, right? And then it passes through, and it doesn't turn into a story because you've addressed it right then as it arose.
And if it arises again with a little different guise to it, you know, then I know where to go. I know what it is.
And nothing ever gets any traction. And so since we're looking at it from this karmic way, it's really a beautiful thing, because so most of us, you know, arrive at awareness practice with God knows how many lifetimes of nastiness trailing along. Okay, and so we come into life and it's a story. You know, everything that happened in this lifetime gets added on to everything that ever happened, and it's a big old story. And then people are trying to heal that, and they're trying to go back, they're trying to let it go, they're trying to, okay. So now we have a practice where we can bring all of that to wisdom, love, and compassion. We can get clarity about it. We can see it for what it is. The people that it happened to are healed Okay. Now we're current, right? So now something happens in life, and you have that way of processing it so that it doesn't leave any karmic residue.
Mm.
Yeah, so we clean
up
the
like
past.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we're cleaning up the past, and we're not making any messes in the present.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
It's a gift to the whole world.
Yeah. I'm just so thankful for the practice, and I'm thankful that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that that I have a daughter that's, there helping me grow, grow and learn.
Yeah, exactly. Because what if you decide you want to go somewhere someday? Aren't you glad that she has modeled good behavior on how to do that and not have people hanging and clinging? You know, you if you're ready to go somewhere, you don't want these grown children to be whining at you about selling their house.
Yeah, well, guess who she's modeling? Mom, I've been watching you go to California. All right, well, now everybody's going to California. So,
well,
yeah.
Hey, there's room for you here too, you know.
I know, and I will see you this summer when I'll be out in California, and I'll be in that shower with the heart.
All right, excellent. Thanks,
thank
Jenny.
You so much. Okay, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hi.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, I'm doing really well.
Tell me what's going on.
So, as usual, lots of things are changing. And one of the things I've been looking at, I have so much anxiety about calling today. It's funny. I was like, I saw the time and I was like, I'm going to call. And there was so much resistance. And then I called early enough that I would probably get on, because a lot of times I end up getting on when I call. And I'm just so excited. There's so many things I want to talk about. But I think one of the things I've been looking at is around identity and career.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this experience of leaving my job recently, or I'm currently having that experience, and conditioning was saying all this stuff and what it was going to be like and what was going to happen next, and then I did it, and then what's happening is not at all what conditioning said was going to be happening. It's like all this other stuff is opening up, but it's not the stuff that conditioning had told me was going to open up afterwards, which
like
I find to be
misery, like misery and suffering and how you were making a huge mistake and ruining your life.
Yeah, well, there was like a dualistic thing going on. There was like the heart where it was like, this is what I'm going to do because I don't know when I'm going to die, and I know I want to be in another place, so I'm just going to do this. And then there was like the dualistic conversation going on around, you know, you're going to ruin your life, and then like, oh no, this is the best thing you've possibly ever done. And then there was like the planner thinking about, okay, what's going to happen next? And so she had all that figured out, which is her thing, which is fine. But there was a buy-in to all this planning that she was doing and thinking about all these things. And then, as usual, life happens in a totally different way. One of the things that came up during this process that I have been looking at is, I think there was a story for a long time of, I need to work to have money. And then, but what's interesting is now that I'm like, you know, leaving my job or, you know, changing what it is I'm doing, it's funny because I thought that the money, what conditioning was telling me is that the money thing was going to be the biggest issue. But the thing that's coming up for me, and I'm projecting on when I talk to other people, what's coming up for them too, when they're saying, oh, have you, you know, the worries that they have for me, is like how I'm going to be spending my time.
Oh.
So there's this So there's like this big like anxiety about, oh my gosh, what do you, you know, you need to have a job because what are you going to, how are you going to spend your time? Which is like this thing that I like, it seems like, it's, you know, I just find it fascinating. It's, you know, like, because when I'm in a center place, I'm like, gosh, you know, so many things I could be spending my time doing. And it's not something that I anticipated having even, you know, any kind of conversation with, because the money thing seems like such a big deal.
So let me speculate. So these are not meditators you're talking to, are they?
No, they're not. No.
No. These are people who live in a society where if there's 30 seconds of silence, people start getting so anxious they don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah. 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 That's probably right. Yeah. 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 And there's like a part that's like, it's very interesting because again, now there's like this kind of dualistic thing going on. But when I'm at center, I can see that, I'm going to do the thing that's in front of me to do. And there's always been something in front of me that I wanted to do. And so I bet you there's going to be something in front of me that I'm going to be wanting to do, you know?
Yeah. And people who, at least most people, of course, I usually talk to meditators, but most of the people that I talk to who have had an opportunity to do what you're getting ready to do, after a very short time say, how in God's name did I ever have enough time to go to work every day?
Yeah.
You know, your life is so busy and full, and you are going somewhere for 8 or 9 hours every day. How is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting because I feel like it's like one of those, it's like a thing that I've never done before. And so having done it, it's like, it feels like it's like turning over like a, I don't know why, like a turtle shell. And there's all this stuff underneath that I've never had a chance to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I think right now I'm feeling really grateful for it because there's all these parts of me that have been so tightly wound up that I'm finally, again, being able to see.
Yeah.
That I've never been able to see before.
And that's worth the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I don't know if you listen to the Good News update, but, you know,
yeah.
I'm listening to the monks, and I'm thinking, you know, I can see why most of the world thinks we're a little odd. you know, to get that excited about fixing an out shower because people are going to come on retreat and get to see the heart on the, you know, I mean, that's odd in this world. However, I think it's really just the most lovely, amazing, extraordinary way to live. So, you know, you much of the world devotes their lives to never uncovering anything, never having to face anything, never seeing anything. That's the whole point of all of the distraction and the busyness and the, you know, all of the craziness that people live in. Yeah, it's stressful and it's miserable and we complain about it. We eat too much and gain weight and don't exercise and all of this, but at least I don't ever have to face anything unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? So
I am. That's exactly what I'm projecting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so for people like us, it's like, well, I've never had that experience. So I want to have that experience. And especially if there's a bunch of resistance to me having it. Well, there must be something really good there, or ego wouldn't be so threatened and in so much resistance.
Yeah.
But trust
me.
You're not going to be able to explain that to family and friends.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think that's really helpful to see because I get in these conversations, you know, where people are like, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, I bet there's, you know, I'm going to see what's going to happen, you know." And then I take the side of I see that I fall into like a kind of like a young child who's trying to like defend herself. And yeah, and I can see that that has nothing to do with anything at all.
Right. Here's the good news. It's your life. You get to do whatever you want to. And, you know, doing things that are outside of the norm is really threatening to people. Because with something like that, if you can leave your job, if you can not work, if you can figure out a way to leave your job and not work, you know, that's what everybody says they want. Right? That's so, you know, you put in your 40 years or whatever it is so that you can do that. But to do it by choice when you want, when your whole life is ahead of you and you have all of your resources, that's really threatening to people. Because if you can do it, then I could do it, and I'm terrified to do it. So I'd really rather you didn't do it so that I don't have to face that terror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's I can really see how that's I can really see how that's so, and I see how it's in so kind of in my what I can see how that's going on like inside too, because there's like this story about why one needs to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like kind of, I feel like this, you know, like money, career, security, and I think that there's also this big, you know, what would my life be like if I wasn't so stressed and running around and busy, and like there's some kind of like importance or something, you know, involved with that.
For its own sake. You know, the part that I think is saddest about this particular culture that we live in is that the motivation for all of that is not participation. You know, it's not I work because I want to participate in the world. I want to do my part. I want to do my share. It's exactly what you said. It's the money. It's career. It's identity. It's security for me. And I just project that that's why it's hollow for so many people.
Yeah, that's really helpful to see, too, just the participation in doing my part. That's, I think, what I want to do. And, yeah, and I can see how that could be possible. I could see how that is possible for my life. And that's what I want to, like, that's like what I'm drawn to do.
To let life lead you instead of conditioning lead you.
Yeah. And to like, and to be, I don't know, once a while ago on this radio show, you said, you know, you're just going to do the thing. And this is me paraphrasing you and probably just, you know, making up my own words. But anyway, so it was something about, you're just going to do the things you love, and more things that you love are going to keep showing up until you don't have time to do anything else except for the things that you love.
Well, did I say that or did you say it? I want to have said that. I like that a lot.
You did. You said
good.
That.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure I said that.
Yeah.
Because that is my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we only focus on what brings us love, gives us love, then there'll just be more and more and more of that. In the same way that if we focus on it's too hard, I'm too busy, it's not going to work, we get more and more and more of that. So, oh, I know, what we practice is what we have. So
yeah.
if we want love, we got to practice love.
Yeah. Wow, Sherry, thank you. This is great.
You're gonna keep me informed, right?
Yes, I am gonna keep you informed. Yes,
very good.
I'm gonna see you this summer. I'm going.
Oh, excellent.
I'm gonna come on retreat, so I'm super excited.
Oh, very, very, very good.
Yeah.
Great talking with you.
Good talking to you. Okay, bye.
Take care. Good night.
Good night. Take care. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi.
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 How's it going?
It's going well. It's going very well. I called this evening because I've been wanting to call for the last few weeks, and I've been getting talked out of it, and I'm on vacation this week, and so it was complicated to call at all. So, well,
yeah.
It wasn't complicated. However, there was still a lot of resistance, so. But
it's amazing how that works, isn't it?
It is.
So good for you for seeing through it and getting through it and doing what you want to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Sherry. I guess one thing I could talk about tonight is kind of similar to the first caller in that I'm here now in Ohio visiting my mom, and I'm noticing some karmic conditioning or patterns coming up, one in particular. And the guidance I get from the mentor on this is to really have compassion for the being who is kind of falling for it. And also, it's like there's the person who falls for it, and then conditioned mind comes in and says, you have to do something different now. You have to fix yourself, change yourself, do something to fix the situation. And the guidance I'm getting is, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to be. You to just shine compassion on the being. So I guess I'm struggling a little bit with it, Sherry, but I just wanted to bring it out into the light, I guess.
Well, of course, I'm going to agree with the mentor.
Okay.
Yeah. I've just never encountered a situation in which compassion is not the right answer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I agree. And there's such a I'm trying to stand back. I'm a little nervous speaking on air right now, but when I stand back, I totally get it, and I can kind of see that there's like a vicious cycle, because once I step in the self-improvement mode, I'm just chasing my tail.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is, as we were talking about earlier, So whatever parents, God, parents and children, it never, you know, we never get old enough that there isn't something there.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true for everybody. It's hard for everybody, and a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah.
And so we can have compassion for that, for everybody's part in it. We can, you know, nobody probably ever was who they really wanted to be in
mm-hmm.
a given situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so compassion for everybody on that. So then that, and that's the work, to let go of everything in the past. Right?
So, yes, yes. And I'll be a little more specific, Sherry. It's, I tend to go into kind of a quiet place, like where it's kind of hard to explain. It's not just with my mom, it's other family members too. But I kind of go into kind of quiet, silent Virginia, and it's not who I want to be or who I think I am. It's kind of a condition. It is a condition pattern. And,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How would you like to be? Are you away in other situations that you would like to be in this situation?
Yes, lively, animated, joyful.
And you know that person. Sometimes you're that person?
I know that person is there, yes.
Okay. And so can you ask that part of you to be there?
Well, yeah, I guess I could. I ask her to be here.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I can do that.
So if you could kind of get a team thing going with you, the mentor, and the sort of outgoing, joyful person,
mm-hmm.
that could be a good deal.
That could be a great deal. That could be a great deal because, you know, the silent person doesn't just show up here. She just happens to be here a lot now, but she shows up other places, of course.
And she'd be a great person to have on retreat.
Absolutely.
That's part of the magic of this work that we do, is that we really can ask different aspects of us to be present at different times instead of allowing karmic conditioning to draw forth
mm-hmm.
a particular aspect of us that goes
right.
with the particular karmic conditioning that happens to be going on.
Right. It's almost like it brings out it wants to bring out the wrong person at the wrong time.
Precisely. The maximum amount of suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you you get to know that kind of happy, bubbly, outgoing person,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
Ask her to come out. Now, you know, she'll need a lot of support.
Yes.
Yeah. So then you spend a lot of time, you, the mentor, and that part of you, sort of laying out your strategy.
Oh, laying out our strategy.
Hmm. Yeah. And here's my encouragement.
Okay.
Don't make it last too long.
Oh, what do you mean, Sherry?
I mean, 20 minutes is a nice time frame.
Okay.
And then go somewhere. You know,
20
go
minutes.
Get a cup of tea. Go get a cup of tea. Walk outside. Look at the sky. Breathe some fresh air. Have a little conversation. Go back in.
20 minutes for the strategizing or 20 minutes to allow her to come out?
For her to come out.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Because there's going to be incredible pressure for this old karmic, to bring the silent person out.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can you picture it?
Yes, I'm picturing this joyful woman who's dancing with herself, you know, and just dancing with life. And
she's happy, and she looks around and she sees things that she thinks are beautiful and that she loves, and she talks about things that make her happy, and she likes to ask people questions that she thinks are interesting. And you let her be there, and then when you can start feeling the energy change, the you know, that old karma wants to assert itself, then you go outside, have a conversation, you know, this is great. You're doing great. This is fabulous.
Uh-huh.
When you're back to center, you go back in again.
Yeah. Perfect. I love it. Thank you.
And you know, it's an experiment. It's a game. It's something to try.
Mm-hmm.
You do things and you see what happens, and it reveals another layer to be embraced.
Yeah, another layer to be embraced. It seems like a very loving game. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah. Let me know.
I will.
Because if it works, we want to, you know, spread it around.
Yes, certainly. Okay, good care. Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion? If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back. Sherry, we have another caller.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Karen from Chico.
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty darn good, and it was just so much fun hearing everybody talk and the fixing up the monastery and... Oh, just everybody. It's been really inspiring, and I just wanted to call in and join in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I've heard a rumor that you're having some what we call spiritual opportunities currently.
I am, but, you know, I won't say that I haven't had some days that were survival, but overall, I think... you know, with the mentoring and all my supports, I think I'm happy and I'm doing really well.
Great.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the best we can ever hope for, isn't it?
Yeah. Because
hard stuff happens.
Yeah. It is what it is, but it doesn't mean life is over or, you know, that a person can't be happy, no matter what they're going through. And I've learned a lot and to trust myself. I think been there for a long time, but in some pretty kind of more radical way of what's right for me, I've learned to trust myself, and that's been good, you know, to know my own body and things like that. So I feel really supported, and, you know, I'm feeling strong. I'm working physically, that's a little slower, but it's, you know, but I'm coming along. And I've got monastery split pea soup cooking on the stove as we speak, just to stay in the spirit of everything.
That's great.
Yeah, but I just so related to what all the other callers were sharing, and you know, the what you were talking about with one of the callers about not having to share my karma with everybody, you know, that I can go to the mentor and comfort myself and give myself what I need and calm myself down, and just how wonderful. I mean, especially to me, it's so kind to me, but I know it must be really kind to other people too.
Yeah. And that's such a, that's one of the things that I'm hopeful is going to be most powerful for people about this work, is that, it can be any life circumstance, but almost everybody knows the one of something happens and you go to somebody for whatever, comfort, reassurance, nurturing, a kind word, and that person is not in a place to give it. And so you've got a difficulty, and then you've got what is going to be interpreted as rejection or unkindness or whatever. Then, you know, probably get some self-hate piled on for whatever it is. And so all of that potential suffering gets removed when you just directly offer the loving kindness and compassion and care to the person who is feeling a need for it.
Yeah. That just seems so, that just is so true. And there's times in life where, for me, I know I need a ton of support. Like, mm-hmm. I could just literally wear out people with the amount of support I need. And but I know how to give that to myself now. And it's, you know, as much whatever I need, as much as I need. I can literally do it all day if I have to.
Yes, and your heart never gets worn out from it.
No.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the loving kindness that's there, it doesn't have anything else that it wants to be doing instead.
Right.
Yeah. So it's always available, and it's always kind.
It's always available and it's always kind, and it seems like even if I get in a really dark place, that once I start, you know, start in with the mentoring and start in with the support that I need, you know, whether it's fixing good food or whatever it is, there's a shift that happens. And so I might think that I need more support than is out there, but in a very short time, I'm like, you know, I'm back in the light room. I'm back. Oh, okay, I'm fine. I'm doing well now.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's such a gift. And I'll ask.
Oops. Oh gosh, Karen. I'm.
What,
Michael?
Karen, you're breaking up a little bit there.
Okay. How's this? Is this better?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Thank you. I just didn't hear that last sentence.
I just so appreciate all the practice supports. I love getting up in the morning and having all the, you know, the peace quotes and the all the things in my inbox from the monastery, and just everything that you guys have given me to help me through this. I'm just forever grateful.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Me too. And yeah. And what a I don't know what, fortunate, blessed, happy, grateful place to be excited to get up in the morning, because there's going to be kindness and compassion and fun.
Yeah.
All during the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy healing.
Pardon?
Happy healing.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye, Michael. Wait.
I understand that we're going to see you before long.
I'm sure working toward that. I'm just hoping that that's going to happen for me. I'm not there yet, but it's still a few weeks away. So I'm working hard.
All right. I'm sending energy.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. It's Anna from Yorkshire in England.
Anna, I was just thinking about you today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well, thank you. It's my birthday this week, and I'm able to call, so it's a birthday treat. And I read your blog, and I'm going to do the zero tolerance to listening to self-hate on my birthday.
Excellent. Now, which day is it?
It's on Thursday. Which is
Thursday.
Tomorrow for me now.
Yes.
Thursday. This Thursday, 28th.
28th. All right.
Yes.
Excellent. Zero tolerance for self-hate.
That's right,
thank you. I really appreciate the birthday gift.
Yes. and I will write in. I will blog in about it.
Very good.
Well.
That's excellent.
I wanted to say something about something that the other Anna brought up about her work situation. I've got the exact opposite about to happen. I'm in a position where I'm going to have to work full time. And that's not really something that I've done. And like you, I agree with you that there's so much in life to do anyway, just living. How do these people work for 8-9 hours every day and still do everything else, live the rest of their lives? So I just thought I might just bring that up, seeing as Anna mentioned that she was sort of doing the opposite, because I am practicing really hard with it, but when that slips, it is really scary. It sort of feels a bit like my life is narrowing down to that tiny dot that was in the Voices cartoon. But when I practice, you know, it's not as bad as that. But it is going to be an interesting one for me, and it is going to be a challenge for me to work full time and still make time for myself and the practice.
Yes. Yeah. It's really hard. It's really challenging. And the thing, of course, that I wish for people, you know, what we're conditioned to do is such a great, of course, you know, I'm convinced that the whole structure of how people are required to live their lives is a product of egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. So when people are in those circumstances, then it becomes a survival issue. And so I go to work and I come home and I'm exhausted and I have all these other things that I need to do, and the all of the ways that I take care of myself don't happen because there's just no time, and the voices are revved up about how exhausted you are and how hard everything is. And what would be wonderful is to see if it's possible to make the situation more about practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah? So that every day is laid out in from a perspective of not what you need to get done,
mm-hmm.
but how are you going to take care of yourself?
Yeah.
Is that how you're going to do it?
That is my intention completely.
Good.
Yes.
And can you already see ways that you're going to be able to pull that off?
Yes. I already do it to a degree when I'm working now. So, for example, the recording and listening, I do that on my iPod and I have that with me all the time. And when I have breaks, I can listen to that. And I try to get outside and so that I can see nature. And what happens then is that, oh, it's really interesting. I kind of slow down. Everything slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that I already do.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to be teaching? Is that what's going on?
I don't at the moment. It's because of the situation, I'm going to just have to get a job, whatever it is. The teaching at the moment, the situation over here, there's been so many cuts. I haven't been able to find any full-time teaching jobs, so I'm applying for other jobs, but there is a job that I have applied for that I'm hoping that I might get, and it's to do with caring. It's care work, which is going to be an interesting thing.
Aha. Aha. Mm-hmm. So that's good. At least there's a hope that it's interesting.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and then a chance to practice all of these things that we talk about, and possibly channel some folks like Mahatma Gandhi and you know that whole notion of one's entire life being service.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trusting as well that if I just keep practicing and try to make sure that I have time to meditate every morning, that I will see how I need to be or what needs to be done as it happens.
Yes. Yes. In that way, that it's kind of been the theme of this conversation. This is where you are to reveal the next layer of what's there to be embraced and healed.
Yeah, that's precisely how I see it, yes. So that's good. So that's really good. So you've just reflected back to me all the positive things about it. So, and I'll be able to listen to this archive as well. So.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to hopefully call in.
Continuing to be an adventure, huh?
Yeah. And it's better than other. The worst things happen at sea.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And thank you for the present for both of us.
Yes.
I very much appreciate that, and I'll be eager to find out how it went. So that adventure and then the whole adventure. You'll keep us posted, I know.
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah.
One other question. How's that daughter?
Oh, she's really good. She's come down with tonsillitis.
Ouch.
So I know, because she never got to finish talking to you. She's had a day of it. So she's fast asleep now, which is the best place for her. But she really is really good. And she gets your tweets now on her own technology as well. So
right, that's great.
rather than mine, she's getting it all onto her own stuff. So she's really well.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Well, tell her hello for us.
I will do. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay. Thank you as well for being there, and to Michael as well. And I'll speak to you next time.
Good. Good. I look forward to it. Good night.
Okay, good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was fun when I heard about the tweets.
Yes.
I'm just imagining all around the world, little smartphones going off in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. And
yeah, and there we are all together.
Yes.
That's just the most glorious feeling for me.
Yes.
Yeah, all of us practicing together.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Lovely. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. It's been great.
Yep. Talk to you next week.
Okay, I'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye.